I love learning new digital things, but I have to get my eyes off the screen, you know?
We're kicking it off in probably the weirdest year we've ever podcast. We've got some great ideas for you coming up this season. We're looking forward to sharing them with you.
And now it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep. First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no others. Yep. With Tim and Scott.
Wow, Scott, is this crazy or what? You know, it's a good thing we know how to do all this distance stuff.
We've been distancing for 7+ years,
Tim. Yeah. Yeah, now we're just continuing to do the same thing. Not as teachers, though, right? I mean, it's like greatness as a teacher, but this pandemic has really thrown us into a spin.
And as much as like pain and everything that this is causing, we got to find ways to laugh through it as well, and also to learn from each other and improve each other, so we can make sure that this generation of kids that are facing these things face them with courage and are successful in the future.
Absolutely.
Hey, and if you guys are out there and you're thinking about the school year like I am, or maybe you even started, you probably have a Donor to Choose project that needs funding. So I want you to stay tuned till the very end of this episode to learn how you can get your project funded through today's sponsor, our longtime sponsor, Advancement Courses. We're glad to have them back for another season. And Tim, they're going to step up for some of those Donors Choose projects for teachers out there who need things.
Yeah, and who knows what's going to happen with our budgets with all these, you know, tough economic times. So be nice to get some help from Advancement Courses and be able to buy some of those things that you want to help your kids ultimately, right?
For sure. And hey, by the way, listeners and audience and fellow educators out there, we are going to find a way to make Global School Play Day happen. So stick around. We'll talk about that at the end of the show too.
I'll be curious what that is.
Global School Home Play? I don't know.
All right, Scott. Well, on today's show, we have Rachel Murat. She is the 2020 New York State Teacher of the Year. And we know there's been a lot of stuff going on in New York. Boy, we see that in the news.
We feel you out here in California, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've got it happening here too. She is in her 25th, or finished her 25th year at Maine Endwell High School in New York. And that's evidently near Pennsylvania. I've never heard of Endwell, New York.
We hope this all ends well, right, Tim?
Yeah.
Ends well and ends soon.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Rachel. We're glad to have you on today.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. So what was it like winning the state? Was it different winning the State Teacher of the Year this year with the pandemic going on? Or were you awarded that before it started? Or tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I found out about it in June, actually, and everything was behind the scenes until the official announcement in September at the Board of Regents meeting in Albany. And from there, it was a little bit of a whirlwind for a month or two. I was able to get to several events, speak to several different stakeholder audiences, and it was just an amazing experience. And then in February, I was able to go to Palo Alto, to Google in California, to meet the rest of our cohort. And that was President's Day weekend. Got back, picked up my new Jeep, thought we were heading towards some amazing events for our Stoy family. And then that didn't happen. So it has been an experience nonetheless, because I was able to connect with my Stoy family. I have some very amazing friends. Shout out to the 2020 Stoys. I'm still be able to make some connections, and I've still been able to use my platform just in a different way.
So you found out last June.
Yes. So every state does it differently. And so some states announced it, like Pennsylvania, for example. They serve as a year, and then they go to the national stage with it. Some have already announced for next year. We've actually chosen ours for next year, but it won't be announced until September. So everybody does it a little bit differently. There's some that don't even find out until January 1st. So it's 56 of us, I think, with the DC and the territories as well. And I think there's like 56 different ways that they go about doing this.
Have they chosen the next one yet?
For New York?
No, the national winner.
So Tabitha Rasboy from Kansas was chosen as the National Teacher of the Year. Rodney Robinson from Virginia was the 2019. But she is already representing us very well as the 2020 National Teacher of the Year. And we're very proud of everything that she's been doing. And she's a pre-K teacher. And I think it's really important that we have a voice for early education because we know how important pre-K is.
Absolutely. We have some good friends out there that have been in your shoes. Tim and I never reached that level, but we do know that it takes a lot of hard work and some creative ideas. So Rachel, could you share a few of the creative ideas that you're using or planning on using or would encourage teachers to use in this upcoming school year, whether they're distance learning or some kind of hybrid or some other kind of interesting creation by people that aren't sure what to do?
Sure. So first, you know, and foremost, that's always important. Maslow before Bloom. I feel like I should have it tattooed on my forehead. I say it so many times. But we have to make sure that we're establishing those relationships because until those relationships are formed, nothing's going to get learned. And making sure that we're meeting the needs of our kids. And last year, it was a little bit different because we had, you know, what was it, 6 months or 7 months to establish that relationship and you could work with that relationship going forward. And so this year is going to present its own special set of challenges. And especially if you are meeting your kids for the first time, you know, digitally. So I did one thing last year that I think really helped to connect with the kids. And I'm not so creative sometimes, but I called them Marat meetings. And so there was a Google sheet that the kids could edit. And I had all of the times that I was available for a Zoom, a Google Duo, a Snapchat video, or a phone call. It had to be something where I was actually hearing your voice and or seeing your face, depending on how you wanted to do it. And they were 10-minute meetings. And so I had 109 kids last year, I think. And then I had, you know, kids that I was connecting with that I didn't have in class, but that I was mentoring or that, you know, had reached out because they needed some assistance because with their time management skills and things like that. So there were days where I was on, you know, 60 plus Marat meetings and it was exhausting. However, I wouldn't change 1 minute of it because I got to connect with the kids one-on-one. Most of the time, we didn't even talk about school. We just talked about what's going on. How are you doing? Do you have enough food? That was like the first question out of my mouth every single time is, do you have enough food? Because I run a food pantry system in our district that feeds about 100 district families in food unstable situations. So I'm very, you know, concerned about that because even if a kid had enough to eat before the pandemic, that doesn't necessarily mean that that stayed the same with, you know, record unemployment levels. So, and then we just talked, you know, what's up? How are you doing? I had several kids that would sign up for like 3 in a row because they wanted to, you know, just talk to me for a little bit longer than 10 minutes. I was, you know, trying to help them sometimes with time management or, you know, college applications. I wasn't so hot with helping with like math and physics homework, but, you know, I could help find them some resources. And I think sometimes it was just the fact that they knew I was there. I did have a couple students that we'd get on a Zoom. I would do my work. They would do their work. And it was like they were sitting in my room. You know, and we could like do a little idle chit chat or they could, you know, show off what they did. And it's not the same as sitting in my classroom together, but, I mean, there were nights that I was on there till 11 or 12 at night because I wanted, you know, that's when the kids were doing their work and they wanted some, you know, just need to be sitting there with them. So it made me get some work done too. So I was kind of excited about that. So I think just coming up with a system, whether it's, you know, through Microsoft Teams or, bookings through Microsoft Office or Google Meet, or, you know, there's a billion different things you can do it with. If you're able to connect with your kids, and I know, you know, I don't know how many kids I have this year, but I just really think that, you know, whatever you can do to make sure that that foundation is there and then they know that you have their back and that, you know, they are more than, you know, a test score, an assignment turned in, an assignment not turned in. that type of thing. And emails, you know, positive emails, just introducing yourself to the parents, anything like that. I also sent out postcards to tell the kids how proud I was of them for getting, you know, through the year. And it had a free ice cream coupon on it. So they were able to take it to one of the ice cream places in town to get a free ice cream. I'm sending out postcards this year with some pictures I took this summer to just introduce myself to the kids that I haven't met yet. And to say, you know, we're going to get through this year. It's going to stink for all of us, but I use that, you know, cliche of it's 10% what happens, but 90% how you react to it with a positive attitude, because we're going to make it work no matter what we have to do.
Yeah. I think you're going to really get a chance to see how resilient and adaptive of our students are and our teachers. And I think we saw a lot of that. It was not easy. It was not perfect in the spring, but more than anything, a job that needs to be in person and connecting with that social emotional side of the child and reacting to the facial expressions when they don't get it, rather than the blank Zoom screen or the non-existence, it makes it a real challenge. And to find ways to overcome that is great. Now, I know you put together some different hyper docs. Mm-hmm. And I know Tim was using that in his classroom in the spring and was loving having a hyper doc. He's like telling me, you got to do it this way because the kids aren't in 17 different directions and you're not trying to find their work on 15 different spots. Mm-hmm. It's kind of all together. And I was like, Tim, once again, you're proving why you're the big, brilliant brother.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm getting all my ideas from you, dude. Yeah. So tell us about those hyperdocs and is this anything you're willing to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. They're all on my blog. And I have hyperdocs for civics, economics, and U.S. history, as well as G Suite in there. Everything that I create, I put out in my blog for other teachers to use. I was actually just helping a teacher that Facebook messaged me about an econ one, trying to troubleshoot some things that she was working on. And so HyperDocs, I'm going to give a shout out to Michelle Griffin, who's a math teacher in our district, and she couldn't go to a HyperDoc session down in New York City. So she gave me her very expensive ticket and I went and I was just blown away. I was already doing inquiry-based learning, but I'm not going to lie, they're really boring to look at. But pedagogically sound. So I got back and she likes to tell the story of the fact that I called her the next day and I was working on a HyperDoc on my computer while I was sitting on the boat because I was so excited about, you know, creating them. And so with HyperDocs, consistency is the key, because especially with remote learning and with the kids, you not being there with the kids the whole time that they're working on it. I think that consistency is helpful. I think that allowing them to work at the pace that they need, because I've used HyperDocs for, I think this is going to be my fourth year of using HyperDocs. I use them exclusively. So that's all I use is what I'm trying to say, in U.S. history, economics, and then in my civics class as well. Because they get to pace how they want, they get to choose how they want to interact with it, whether it's a written piece, whether it's a listening piece, sometimes it's a video clip. I have the transcripts up there, they can do closed captioning, they can choose to do it digitally, they can choose to work on a sheet of paper, whatever works better for them. I have built-in check-in points so that the kids, you know, I have these stamps, you would think that little ink stamps for juniors and seniors wouldn't be like a huge hit, but they're like, I already have that one. I want a different one. I want the other one. So, and then I found some on Etsy that you can put your Bitmoji on today or the other day, and I got them in the mail and a couple of my colleagues were like, you're ridiculous. And I was like, hey, they have my Bitmoji on it.
Sometimes it takes ridiculousness to make things awesome.
I know, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. I mean, come on, life is way too serious.
Seriously.
So just being able to have that dynamic, visual appeal and the choices, and they can work at it their own pace. You know, I think that that really hits at what the kids are needing, in the sense that it causes them to be their own best problem solver, which is, we joke that I'm going to write a book called Life Lessons with Marant, because we're all about the life lessons in class. And so time management is one of them. Being your own best problem solver is another one. Making sure, you know, because if a kid asks me if it's good enough, I'm like, I don't know. Is it good enough? Talk to me about what you have. Why is it good? Why is it not good? Because I'm not the only one in the room that can determine if it's good enough. And so, you know, you have those one-on-one conversations with the kids. And I have people come in my room and observe me using them all the time. And they interview the kids because, to be honest with you, it doesn't really matter what I say. It matters what the kids say. So if it's working for the kids, then it's working. If it's working for me and not them, then it's not working. So they always say that they love the one-on-one conversations. They love the fact that they have the time to review the information with me prior to our whole class discussion. So they feel more confident in volunteering information or, you know, to answer a question or to raise a different point. They get to hear their classmates' opinions of things.
So Rachel, can you give an example of like the types of hyperdocs that you've created? Just a teaser, like, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm listening to what you're saying right now, but, you know, I teach kindergarten. Obviously, I'm not going to be interested in these hyperdocs, but who is? I don't teach kindergarten, by the way.
A hyperdoc can be, that's one of the best things about a hyperdoc, is it can be what you need it to be, in the sense that it has, like, there's some basic tenets of a hyperdoc where there's an engage section, there's, you know, a reflection, there's an extension, there's a, you know, there's lots of different parts of it. And it doesn't have to have every single part every single time, but you can make it what you need it to be. So if you have first graders, I can guarantee you that if you're using age-appropriate material, they're going to be able to navigate through that thing faster than you think they are, because kids are so resilient and they just love to click on things versus adults who are, you know, a little bit more reticent to click on things.
So what actual documents have you created, though, that other teachers can steal from you?
Well,
what are the topics? What are the specifics, like, on a couple of those documents that you made, so the teachers know, like, do I even bother going to her website and seeing what's there?
So in my participation in government class, we have one for each of the branches. So even if you're teaching a U.S. history course, you could break that down, you know, into, for example, talking about the Electoral College, or talking about, you know, how our congressional members are elected, how, you know, what's redistricting, what's reapportionment. You know, the fact that we have 435 House members and we have 100 senators and we have one president, and what our terms and what our term limits, and one about the Constitution. So every topic that is in U.S. history, I have one for. So I have one for westward expansion, World War One, World War Two. I mean, Cold War, there's a zillion of them. And then economics, I have one for economics 101. Then I have one for supply, demand. There's 6 weeks of personal finance on there. There's lots of different things. And again, if you find one that works for you, but you only want to use a part of it, then just use the two slides that you need.
So this is the difference. I guess we should probably even simplify even more between the new kind of terms out there. Maybe not new terms, but terms that we're using more frequently in education, which are asynchronous and synchronous. The relationship part is that synchronous piece where you're connecting live with students, whereas a hyperdoc would be kind of like, to oversimplify it, like a slideshow that the kids could go through with different interactive, engaging activities at their own pace, which would be the asynchronous learning that we want to kind of try to balance it out with. And I think that's what I'm hearing you say, Rachel.
Absolutely. So even when we were, you know, in pre-pandemic times where I was seeing the kids 5 days a week, it was asynchronous with goals. So that if you, you know, worked in class and you could meet the goals, great. If you needed to come in and, you know, work with me during a study hall or a lunch or before, after school, you know, at home, whatever, you know, that was fine. Resource time, whatever. And then the synchronous part of it would be us going over it and making sure we don't have any gaps in our understanding, and hearing what everybody else has to say. So that self-pacing, the asynchronous part, I think is really helpful for the kids who think class goes too fast, and also for the kids that think that class goes too slow.
So Rachel, I want to ask you one quick question, because I heard someone say it this week as I was out shopping, that they thought I was in line, and I overheard some parents talking about the upcoming school year, and their opinion was that teachers should be Zoom meeting with kids or whatever platform for the full school day, 6 to 7 hours continuously every day of the week. Any thoughts on that?
Let's just start with the infrastructure. I don't think that there's enough broadband for us to have every teacher Zooming with every single kid 6.5 to 7 hours a day. And there are parts of our country that we learned equity issues this year where they don't have Wi-Fi. I was speaking with a teacher who lives up in the Adirondacks who had to get into a canoe and go out to the middle of the lake so that she could do her online stuff because she didn't have cell phone service at her house. So, and clearly, that's not something that you can do in the middle of winter, So screen fatigue is a thing. I am a tech integrator. I love learning new digital things, but I have to get my eyes off the screen, there's also equity issues where, you don't know the circumstances that a kid has at home. And if they are having to be on a screen, showing a screen all the time, maybe you're getting a peek into something that, maybe the school needs to be aware of, but also as a privacy concern. If there's 5 kids at home, there's no way that it's going to support broadband for 5 kids for 7 hours. So I have some concerns about that. I definitely think that they need to be touching base with their teacher. If they're in a virtual setting, like totally remote learning, 3 to 4 times a week, hopefully. But I think it's unrealistic for us to expect kids. I can't sit still that long. I had to sit through a 5-hour Zoom the other day, and I can't.
Oh my gosh.
I had to get up.
No, you didn't.
Walk around for so many times because I just can't sit still that long. And there's no way if I'm 48 and I can't sit still that long that I'm going to expect a kid to do that. That's just not fair to the kids. They also need to be going outside and playing and getting some fresh air and getting their eyes off of the screen, So I have some concerns about that statement.
So I have a fictitious solution for this. I'm going to be teaching my class inside Roblox. And all my elementary kids are probably in there for 6 hours a day already anyways. So maybe I could just like set up a little digital classroom in there.
As soon as you do that, they'll leave that platform because that's usually how that works.
Their parents will thank me.
That's a good way to chase them away, right? Well, Rachel, we appreciate all those amazing ideas and inspiration for our rather interesting, to put it mildly, school year that we're embarking upon here. We're going to go ahead and switch gears right now on the show with you and play a little game with you.
But something new, Tim. We got something new.
We got something new. We're not going to do the same old thing we've been doing for years now. We've got a brand new little fun time in our show. Rachel,
it's
you get to be the first
pandemic.
One. You're the guinea pig.
What's, well, 2020 is the year of change, so bring it on.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. So it's the time of our show where we're going to play Big Bro versus Little Bro. Scott, tell our audience a little bit about today's game.
Well, Rachel and audience, in Big Bro versus Little Bro, Tim, the older brother, way older, and I, the younger brother, much thicker, will each share a to-do with you. And then you're going to have to pick one of them. It's kind of like Would You Rather, but we've twisted it to make it not Would You Rather, because I'm sure somebody owns that right to that.
So each brother is going to be competing for one lucky listener. Today's prize is going to be a free download of an album by Rockin' the Standards. If you choose more of my to-dos than Scott's to-dos, then my listener is going to win a prize.
What? This is true sibling rivalry at its finest. But if you choose more of mine, the younger, smarter, brave, no, I'm just kidding. The younger brother, my educator wins. Tim, my educator. So today, I'm going to be competing for Mr. Moriarty, a middle school teacher from Massachusetts.
And I'm going to be competing for Kwame Sarfo Mensah, I hope I'm saying that right, a math teacher from, are you ready? I don't know how to say these. Addis Ababa in Ethiopia.
Woo!
So this is going
global.
Rachel, here we go with your first Big Brother versus Little Brother dilemma. All right. So here's
sibling showdown.
Scott, go for it.
Okay. Every shirt you wear is kind of itchy, or
you sweat maple syrup. Now, come on. That would be delicious. You could just like wipe it off and lick it.
It would be sticky.
This is like a setup.
I mean, you learn to come up with a way to deal with that.
I think...
It smells great, but a little itchy. It's just kind of itchy.
Kind of itchy?
Yeah, but think
of always already kind of.
I think I'm going to take the kind of itchy because then I can take the shirt off, but I can't take the – I can never get rid of the syrup.
Well, you just – okay, I guess. All right.
Yes, Rachel.
Okay, number two.
You're unable to move your body every time the sun is out, or –
You are not able to stop moving when it rains or is cloudy.
Well, since I live in Broome County, which a lot of people refer to as Gloom County, I will have to take the big brother on that one.
Timmy.
You're going to have to take me? You're not going to stop. You're going to just be continuously moving when it's rainy or sunny.
I kind of have a feeling Rachel's continuously moving anyways.
All right, so here we go with number three.
You have skin that changes color based on your emotions.
Or my choice for you is you have tattoos that appear all over your body depicting what you did yesterday. That would be so bad. I mean, because they would disappear after a while, you know.
The next day they disappear.
I think that I would have to choose the little brother on that one.
Ooh, oh, you're going with skin color based on emotions. Okay. Maybe we'll give Scott that one. All right, here we go with number four.
Just saying, right?
It's number four.
Would you randomly time travel 20 years in the future or the past every time you burped?
That's your first choice. Did you catch that one?
Yes.
Okay. And mine, I think this one's way better to pick. You teleport to a different place on Earth. On land, you don't have to worry, you're not going to be thrown in the middle of the ocean. You teleport to some random place on Earth every time you sneeze. That'd be kind of fun. You'd like traveling all over the Earth.
I'd have been like 30 places about 15 minutes ago. I think I'm going to have to take the big brother on that one. Teleporting.
Two to two.
Oh, teleporting.
Rachel,
okay.
How did you do this to us?
Yeah, tell us how that goes for you, too. I'd be interested to hear back from you on that one. Okay, Scott.
Would you become a reverse centaur? Top half of your body is a horse. The bottom half of the body stays the same.
Or my choice is you become a reverse mermaid. So the top half of your body is a fish and the bottom half is human.
Since I like the water a lot, I'm going to have to take Big Brother on that one.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Oh, that's brutal. Yeah. I didn't even get to sell it to you yet.
Final score.
Think how slow you'd have to swim, though. With human feet, it'd be horrible. Think how fast you could run, though.
So I'm not running anywhere. Trust me, I am so uncoordinated.
So, Scott, what's the final score of Big Bro versus Little Bro?
Rachel chose 3 of Tim's choices. Boo. And 2 of my choices. So that means our Big Brother versus Little Brother sibling showdown. The winner is Tim.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, one for the Big Brother.
Tim, well, actually, you actually haven't won anything. But Kwame has won not only bragging rights, but he just ran a download of the ridiculously popular edgy rock band, Rockin' the Standards.
Well, congratulations to Kwame. I'm glad I could pull that off for you. And we want to make sure that our listeners know about that money-making opportunity, too, to get some cash for their class. Before we let them know about that, though, Rachel, can you share with our listeners, again, what is the name of your blog? Give us the URL to that and any other contact information or places that they can find you out there in the digital world.
So you can find me on Instagram at rmurat141 or on Twitter at Mrs. Murat, M-U-R-A-T, or on my blog at spartansocialstudies.blogspot.com.
Excellent. I encourage our listeners to go check out those resources. And Scott, how are we going to pull off Global School Play Day this year? I'm hoping that we're going to all be back at school. But what if we're not?
I think we're going to play Global School Play Day, the home street edition. Everybody just goes out that day into the streets and plays and enjoys life. But you're right, Tim. We hope that we get through this, that the world does, because now maybe more than ever, even though it was so vital before, probably even more than ever, play is so hugely important. And Global School Play Day is about celebrating that and making that aware to people. And we're going to be excited to see, even if we are at home in February, that first Wednesday in February, we're going to be excited to see posts from people's homes playing, with their families playing games. And I think a lot of people really rediscovered how important play is during these last over 5 months through this pandemic, Tim. So even now more than ever, Global School Play Day is going to be alive. We're going to start allowing families to register. So if they want to register for Global School Play Day as well as schools, they could do that as well. We'll keep track of both those different numbers to say, hey, everybody in the world, let's play. We almost hit 1 million last year, Tim. I think we're going to top it easily this year.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, that mental health piece is huge. I mean, when we're trapped in our homes, you know, and don't have that social interaction. So, you know, start Global School Play Day today. Get those kids outside and running around and playing and enjoying life. Keep up to tabs with what's going on with Global School Play Day by visiting globalschoolplayday.com. And we'll update that and let folks know what's happening with Global School Play Day. Thank you to Advancement Courses for sponsoring today's episode. Advancement Courses is a leader in online professional development with over 280 courses in 20 different subjects, including topics like online instruction, social-emotional learning, diversity, and equity and inclusion. So you'll want to check out. There's some really relevant courses in there, isn't there, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. And in this back-to-school season, Advancement Courses is partnering with you and Donors Choose to donate 10% of all their sales to help fund projects every day until September 25th. Visit advancementcourses.com/give to learn more about and submit your project for a chance to get funding from Advancement Courses. Tim, they're great people over there. The courses are fabulously engaging. They give really good prices, and you can sort and search so easily to find things in your state that are going to meet your needs for credentialing issues, or if you just want to grow in a specific area, it's awesome. Visit Advancement Courses today, please.
And just to make it clear, because, you know, everything's online these days, these are courses for teachers, not courses. This is not where a teacher would go and sign up for things for their kids. This is they're taking courses for themselves, and what a great time to do some online education right now when you're at home anyway, teaching your class from home, and you don't have that commute time and everything built into your day. Excellent time to go sign up for a class and advance your career. Right, Scott?
Absolutely. All right. Hey, Tim, it's a joy to start our, we've been doing this over 7.5 years now. It's a joy to get a chance to be back at it for this fall season. And I'm looking forward to some incredible guests that include Rachel. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on today. We really appreciate the time and the energy and the insight and all that you provided for us today on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been fun.
All right. And thank you for listening, Mom and Dad.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers, bringing.